Welcome to the Best Science Medicine Podcast, BS without the BS. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the 498th episode of the Best Science Medicine Podcast. My name is James McCormack, and I'm a professor with the Faculty of Pharmaceutical Sciences at the University of British Columbia.
I'm Mike Allen. I'm a family doctor and the director of practice support at the College of Family Physicians of Canada. I'm also an adjunct professor at the University of Alberta. And while there, I met this person briefly, and I thought I would have her come on and talk about something to do with evidence. She seems to know a little bit about it.
Yes.
So, Tina, I know this is your first time on the podcast, so why don't you introduce yourself?
And there's something that, a statement that is not evidence-based.
Yeah, right. So, well, good afternoon. My name is Tina Koronik. I am a professor in the Department of Family Medicine at the University of Alberta. And ever since Mike left, the director of PEER.
And we've had Tina on for a number of podcasts over the years, and she always does a very good comprehensive job, and we hope she continues. So what are we talking about today, Tina? Because I think it's going to be a good one. And no pressure.
Yeah, I don't know what to say to that. But so we're going to talk about compression stockings for recurrent cellulitis. So this is a new tool that was just published early November.
Yeah, and I think it is all about, the title is Under Pressure, Compression Stockings for Recurrent Cellulitis. And this is something that I think primary care sees a fair amount of, right?
Yeah, so this tool was really prompted by a new trial that had come out in the New England Journal of Medicine. It was published in 2020 that we thought asked a really great question. So just in patients who have recurrent cellulitis, so in patients who have at least two episodes of cellulitis in the same leg in the last couple of years, does the use of compression stockings actually help prevent recurrence? And so we read this trial and thought, well, yeah, we'd love to look at this. And what is the other evidence that supports or does not support the use of compression stockings?
And we were talking earlier about the compression stockings have been around for a long time.
Yeah, like the idea of them is not at all new. And we all sort of know we recommend them to patients if they've got a little bit of lower extremity swelling. I mean, there's certainly other uses for them, sort of post-thrombotic syndrome and things like that. But again, it's one of those things, and that's why I love these tools, is we do it, but I don't know many of us know the evidence around it.
Well, yeah, and there wasn't much evidence for this. We all pushed it based on good theory, which we'll talk about how that actually turns out in evidence. But too often patients had no interest or there were so many barriers to get them. It ended up with, Lasix to get the legs less swollen, Keflex to try and treat the infection, topical steroids to try and calm down any scratching inflammation that they were, and knowing that that was feeding the cycle of thinning their skin. And because it's very hard to convince patients to use compression stockings. And we didn't really have evidence of how really effective they were.
And Mike, you forgot about keeping your fingers crossed.
Yeah, that's probably the big one, yeah. And there were all sorts of other things too there, of course, like elevating legs and all of that stuff. But the big thing that we all wanted to get our patients on was stockings, but there were always lots of barriers and a fair number of them were from patients just not wanting to use them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so this, and I'll say I did this tool with one of our other peer members, Betsy Thomas, and then we had a student, Jamie Grunwald, who did a ton of great work on this tool as well. So the first trial, the main trial that's highlighted in this tool was just a randomized control trial of 84 patients. And so they had all had lower extremity edema for 3 months or greater, and that history of recurrent cellulitis we talked about. And they were randomized to sort of compression or education alone. And the trial actually says compression was individualized. So our student contacted the author, and she was great. She got back to us right away and said, yeah, we did individualize it, but the majority of patients who received compression received knee-high compression between 23 and 32 millimeters of mercury.
And don't you love it when researchers get back in touch with you?
I just love it. Timely response. It's so the way things should be.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's great. And because you can often get so much more than what was actually in the paper.
Yeah, right. Maybe they cut it out because of word count or something.
Yeah, exactly.
We sort of needed that because we thought, well, if we're recommending this special individualized, you know, compression stocking that no one else can access, that's not very practical. But if it's just a knee-high stocking, that makes a bit of a difference for us. So what they found is at 6 months, they looked at recurrence of cellulitis, and it was significantly less in the compression group. So 15% of patients in the compression group versus 40% in the education group, and that is a number needed to treat of four. I think that's similar to Viagra, isn't it? So there you go.
I didn't know Viagra worked for peripheral edema. we could go so far with this one. We should.
Let's just drop it because we will be for 30 minutes going on like 14-year-old boys.
Exactly.
Let's move on, but
you're right. It's not, in fact, there's not a lot that gets as numbers needed to treat of four. So. You know, a 25% absolute difference. So that's, it is fairly impressive. And you know, cellulitis is not a fun thing to get.
Well, and it puts you at risk. I mean, these are the patients at risk of, you know, you get infection and then other bad things happen and don't want to go down that path. So, yeah, it's huge, actually. And other outcomes showed similar benefits. So quality of life. Improved about 8 points on a 100-point scale. So we see it at least going in the right direction, even though they had to wear compression stockings, which we'll talk a little bit about after. And that wasn't statistically significant, but the study was underpowered for this outcome. It wasn't a primary outcome. And remember, this was only 84 patients. I also love studies of under 100 patients that show any statistically significant result.
Well, all you have to do is have something that really works well. You can do that with 20 people.
James, we don't want to ask too much.
No, I know. No, exactly. But what's good, and you know, when you mentioned like the quality of life stuff was not statistically significant, but the way to sort of look at that, though, is because it's possible that the quality of life could be worse, especially if they were very difficult to use, uncomfortable or whatever. So even if it's not statistically significant, if you see it going in the right direction, it gives you some extra level of, dare I say, comfort.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's like a comfort number.
Yeah.
That if anything, we might be improving it, but it doesn't mean that we're worsening it. So.
But if it's accurate or even close to that, 8 points is that would take, I'm guessing, between 14 and 22 puffers to get 8 points of improvement on a quality of life scale.
In COPD.
Yeah. James, over to you to describe that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I shall leave it that one. But you're right. And you know, and I think most importantly, it's not going in the wrong direction.
Yeah. And it's a meaningful improvement in quality.
Yeah, yeah.
And exactly for the reasons Tina said, this is something that patients complain bitterly about. So if you actually use it for a while, your quality of life will improve because of it. So it's seems to. So it's clearly, you know, that this is very reassuring.
Yeah. And speaking of being difficult to use, they also looked at some adherence stuff, right?
Yeah. So this is the part that makes me scratch my head a bit, but their adherence was very good. So they said 88% of the compression group reported wearing their garments 4 or more days a week, which is actually very good compared to what we normally see in the community for adherence. And they did not report any adverse events. So as far as we know, there weren't any. But limitations of this study, obviously, it wasn't blinded. You can't, maybe you could blind compression stockings, but that would be complex. And the support was provided by lymphedema physiotherapists. So that may have helped with the adherence as well.
Yes.
They've got someone who's really passionate about this, who's involved in teaching them and educating them along the way. So the general applicability may be less effective in the community if we're not using those sort of really specialized supports.
And I learned something I did not know there was such a thing as a lymphedema physiotherapist.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't either, actually.
I mean, so. We kind of get into the point, like when it comes to ophthalmologists, we have the back of the eye ophthalmologist and the front of the eye.
Oh, yeah. There's more than that, James.
No, I know. But it's the right side of the eye and the left side. I mean, yeah.
I'm just concerned that they had generalists of lymphedema physiotherapists. I thought they would have picked right leg lymphedema physiotherapist and left leg.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. So a few limitations, right? And so as Mike mentioned, there is not a ton of randomized control evidence on this type of intervention. And so when we tried to look for supporting studies, right, because we always say, okay, one study in isolation, mm-hmm. take it with a grain of salt because we'd love to see it reproduced. But we didn't find that. So, you know, we just found other sort of supplementary evidence of sort of cohort studies, for instance. So we found a prospective cohort study of just over 100 patients who had chronic edema. And so what that study found is if they were given edema care, including daily compression, exercise, and skin care, that significantly reduced the incidence of cellulitis from 41 per 100 patient years to zero at 6 to 12 months.
Even like you said, even if it's a cohort study, that says something, because we're with cohort studies of, we've talked about nutrition cohort studies. I mean, we're not even going to go there, but I mean, you don't even need to do statistics on that. As long as, you know, there was no huge confounder, it had to have done something.
I love that. So you're saying that zero is less than 41, James? Is that what you're...
41 out of 100, yes. Shocking, I know. You heard it here first.
Serious. But yeah, I agree with you, because, you know, when you're in a cohort study, if the difference had been 35 versus 41, you could have easily chalked that up to confounding. The chances that you can go from 41 to zero without the intervention playing a role is pretty low.
Yeah, no, exactly. So it's not quite a repeat RCT, but it certainly leans in the favor of that initial report was probably true.
We're seeing a fairly, you know, consistent evidence that controlling edema seems to help prevent cellulitis. Yeah. So that, and like we said, it's not one of these trials where we're looking for a 0.003% statistically significant difference. You're seeing, meaningful outcomes. Yeah.
So what's the context for all this?
Yeah. So the context, if you look at, there are some guidelines around the use of compression for reducing edema. And some will say the highest level the patient can tolerate. So they say, between 20 and 60. But they also...
60?
I think I told you guys, I tried compression stockings in residency. We got free ones from one of the pharmaceutical companies. I guess I should be declaring that. Even with those special gloves, like I had the lowest one, I couldn't get those things on. And that I think was the 20 to 30. So I don't know. I don't know how an elderly person with comorbidities is struggling to put on a 60 millimeter mercury compression stocking.
I just don't. Yeah. I can't think of one. The general is the class two, which is the one used mostly in this trial, the class two, the class ones you buy over the counter and the class two, three, fours. I've never had a patient on a four, class four, but I assume that's the one approaching 60. Yeah. It's like having an elephant squeeze in your leg.
No, like vacuum suction. I don't know. But you know what? It's interesting because there's also lots of evidence that the lower levels reduce edema and improve, as we see, cellulitis, and may result in better compliance. Surprise, surprise.
And you know what, Mike? It just makes me want to just say low dose.
Low dose? Oh.
you're at it. Yeah, 14 minutes and 15 seconds.
So please collect your prize for the low dose bingo.
Oh, so all right. The other thing is there's some really interesting, it's just a survey data. They look, they looked at patients who'd had previous cellulitis, and they said, compression stockings would help prevent recurrence, and you've already had cellulitis. Would you be willing to wear them? And only a third of patients even said that they would. And, even when patients say that, only half of them actually do it. So even with the history of cellulitis, tons of patients don't want to wear these things. So that's a bit of a barrier. So I think, yeah, as James said, starting with lowest dose tolerable is probably the best way to go.
And it's not, you know, it's not, I mean, it is not as quite as bad, but it, you know, when you write a prescription, about a third never even get to the pharmacy. And then, you know, the other two thirds probably maybe half of those even take it close to what you were thinking they would take it. So a third seems like a lot, but I think the problem is that we're dealing with humans.
Well, you know, it's different though, James, for different ones, right? So if you give antibiotics, they're more likely to be filled than a, you know, a prescription for hydrochlorothiazide.
Or something for osteoporosis.
So certain ones, like, and I can see people, so I was jokingly thinking in my head, we just have to make the antibiotics more intolerable so that the people will gravitate towards prevention more. Something like a clindamycin, because it punishes people in the end.
High dose erythromycin.
Or high dose erythro. So, but we do have to, I think, but what I like about this study, Tina, and the tools of practice is it gives us ammunition to really advocate for stockings, knowing now that we have pretty solid evidence of how effective they are. They are potentially impactful interventions in, you know, in both quality of life and reduction in infections and all of those things. So I found this information quite helpful for what I would use in practice and in swaying people, because I absolutely met with resistance when bringing up stockings.
Go ahead, Tina.
I was just going to say, in the context of that, as we were writing this tool, that the Cochrane Systematic Review came out looking at compression stockings for venous ulcers. And the same message was identified in that systematic review, that at 12 months, 70% using compression stockings compared to 40% not using them would see complete healing. So again, it's sort of reinforcing the idea that compression stockings are quite beneficial. I agree.
And then you know, obviously there's a price associated with all these things, but they're it's not in any way, shape, or form, you know, ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous. And have you seen? I know in Edmonton there, when I drive home sometimes, there's a billboard that's advertising these compression stockings, and they're all, you know, bright colors and fun. Stylish socks, I suppose. They're trying to mainstream it in a way.
But $85, I think, is the kind of class two price, right? And then the class ones are $30. So, you know, that's $85 is still, now, you know, the alternative that patients, because you, if you're like me, you have gone the route of giving Lasix to these people sometimes to patients with these conditions in desperation. And of course, they love that because they can actually, they take it, they have to go pee, they get a little bit of reduction in their ankles for a short period of time, and they feel like something's happening, and it's not that inconvenient for them, especially if they take the lace, if they don't take it at night. So one of the big things I found is that I didn't want to give that even a short dose of 20 milligrams or something, because it would... It was hard to sway them towards stockings afterwards.
And you said 85. I mean, it's not zero by any stretch of the imagination, but it's more of a one-time thing. I guess in theory they do eventually wear out. But that's fairly impressive. Now, I know the last thing in the tools, that there's some contraindications to these.
Yeah. So, I mean, most clinicians will be aware of this. Obviously, you know, severe heart failure as a contraindication, or sort of risk of critical limb ischemia. So there's a few reasons you wouldn't prescribe the stockings to your patients. And often, you know, home care is pretty good about that too. They'll send a note and say, hey, can you do some arterial Dopplers or something just to confirm this patient has the flow needed. And just a note on the cost, and I don't know the evidence around this, but some of the sites will say you need to replace them every 3 to 6 months.
So it's about a 3 to 6 month process. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's not like all of a sudden at 6 months, they just, you know, fall off. Right. So
they burst.
Yeah, and you know, you always, I always think of this as the, you know, what's the sort of the expiry date?
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Really, I mean, if it's gone from 20 to 30 compression down to 15 and 25, I mean, really, you know. So I'm sure you could probably tell. You know,
yeah,
over time.
Right, when they start falling off, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good advice. So Tina, what's kind of the bottom line here? What's, if you summed it up in a few words?
So the bottom line is, if you have patients who have recurrent cellulitis and chronic leg edema, using compression therapy is really beneficial. So it gives, you know, number needed to treat of 4 at 6 months in preventing a recurrence of cellulitis. So I think compression stockings are a good option for patients, and we have some evidence now to discuss with them and sort of inform them to maybe help improve compliance, recognizing that it may be the piece that's the trickiest for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, getting uptake and agreement to uptake.
Yeah.
No, but it, like I said, it's always nice to have something like this, because it gives you a little bit more confidence if you know ballpark numbers. Just go, you know, how good are they? Because before they were, well, we think they're good, we don't know. And so, yeah, no, it's really helpful to have this sort of thing. And it's why a study like this made it into the New England Journal of Medicine, probably.
Yeah, for sure. 84 patients, right? Yeah. It's these classic things where we see this a fair amount and we have virtually no evidence on it.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is one of these many times in primary care where we're waiting for some research and we finally have it for this one, which is nice. And it's a non-drug intervention, all those good things.
Anything else, Tina, that you want to add? I think you've done a great job, and your co-authors.
Yeah. Well, thank you. No, that covers it basically. But yeah, I'm going to, in my own clinic, be a little more focused on trying to encourage patients to use these. And this study didn't assess the long-term effects, but like I said, the long-term effects of infection, I had a patient who developed infection, sepsis, and then did not come home from the hospital. So, mm-hmm. I mean, things are real. And so if we can prevent it, that's great.
It was nice that right at the end, you just made it real.
Yeah, great.
No, that's cool. Okay, anything else, Mike?
Nope, that is all, James.
Great. So I think we'll just leave it at that. So thanks as always for listening.
Talk to you later.
Thank you.